Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, welcome to the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today I'm talking with The Doghouse. I'm interviewing Kevin Simpson, the founder, co-founder of it. I'm just going to go ahead. It's a very unique business. And I've never even heard of one before reaching out to you. So I'm just going to go ahead and let you introduce. What do you guys do exactly?
We are a sports bar / dog park. So you can come and watch your games and whatever sport you're into. And then we also have a dog park attached to our outside. So it's a big AstroTurf enclosed area that you can bring your dog unleashed and let them run around and meet some new puppy friends. And then we have a service window outside where you can walk up and get cold drinks while you play with your dog. Pretty much what we do.
And that's awesome. I mean, I think that's so cool. It makes sense, right? It's like, oh, you want to, you know, grab a drink, but you have a couple of dogs or whatever. And I think that's very smart idea. Can you talk about how long have you been around and kind of like what you've seen? We were talking before. It sounds like you opened up around COVID or before then.
We actually opened up on Mardi Gras in 2018. And I don't know what you've heard about St. Louis, but I think we have the second biggest Mardi Gras celebration.
Yep.
So that was a terrible idea, but because it was our first day and there's literally, I think the number was 2.5 million people within like two blocks of us. So it was like, all right, if we can get through today, we can get through anything, because I mean, it was nuts. And I mean, it was everybody's first day. We did kind of, you know, we didn't do like a soft opening. It was pretty much balls to the wall that day. And yeah, I like to call it a nightmare. Everyone else says it was amazing and it was fantastic, but it was like, you have no idea what we went through that day to make it all worthwhile. But yeah, ever since then, it's been smooth sailing, man, because of that one day. It was like, oh my God, this is, how are we going to do this? I mean, there was literally a million people down there, like without exaggerating.
That's wild. And where exactly are you guys located in St. Louis?
It's Soulard. So we're about a half mile from downtown. So like where all the stadiums and stuff are, and we're right by the Mississippi River. We're less than a mile away from there. So we're right smack in the middle of everything. South St. Louis, South City.
I mean, what inspired you to do this?
Well, there's a Irish pub on every corner. So it's like, what can we do that nobody's doing, you know? And it was kind of, I mean, at one point I had five dogs. So it was like, hey, how do we incorporate dogs into, there were no other dog park bars in St. Louis. I knew there were a few in Austin and one in Kansas City. And then my buddy actually was running one in Colorado. So I called him up and I'm like, hey man, is it working? And I was like, kind of got the ins and outs from him. His name's Leo. And he was really helpful in getting this rolling. You know, I think it's called the Watering Bowl in Boulder, Colorado. And, you know, from there it was like, okay, yeah, we got something here. And then we started a Facebook page and it blew up overnight. I think it was like, we had like 2,000 or 3,000 followers within, you know, 24 hours, like, hey, we're going to bring a St. Louis a dog park bar to St. Louis. And it was like, who would be interested? It was like, bam, 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 bam. And then I made the Instagram and the Twitter and all that. And it was like, all right, we might have something here. So that's pretty much. And then we just, you know, there was no blueprint for it. You know, when you open up a McDonald's or something else, somebody else has done it. So you can kind of follow their path. And it was like, okay, well, nobody's done this here. So we kind of just winged it, you know, and some things worked, some things didn't, but I mean, we're on year four now. So, I mean, I think we got it pretty much down what we need to do. And I mean, post COVID, I mean, we've been kind of held back on what we've used to do because we're just getting over the pandemic and stuff, but we're getting back to the usual stuff that we were doing in the past. We had restrictions.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember flying into St. Louis. It was about, I think it was like close to a year ago, and it was pretty, you know, like it had changed so much from, you know, being in there in a couple of years. Are things starting to lighten up in the COVID?
I mean, it took forever, right when you thought it was ending. And then they're like, then there was that second wave of, you know, everybody started after the people were getting their shots and stuff. And then they almost shut us down again. I mean, we had to close. I mean, there was no businesses open besides, I mean, obviously it was that way, you know how it was, but you know, the only place you can go was the grocery store and Walmart. Everything else was shut down. But then, you know, we were allowed to open back up, but you could only have like 20% capacity. And then we couldn't work with any of the shelters we had normally worked with because of, they didn't know if it was transferable through animals. And so it really was tough. You know, we had to figure out ways to adjust to, you know, whatever the pandemic and that stuff. I mean, it was kind of like our bar. Nobody had ever seen it before. So you don't know what to do, you know, like, oh, you can't be open past 10 o'clock, but you can be open during the day. It's like, okay, does the pandemic only come out at night or, you know? So yeah, it was very frustrating, but you know, we got through it. A lot of businesses around us did not, you know, businesses were shutting down left and right. We were one of the lucky ones to be able to stay open, man. It was scary.
Yeah, that's always good to hear, you know, businesses that survived. And I know that you mentioned that you guys, like, you know, do some adoption events and you work with some rescues, or you did work with some rescues. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That is my favorite part of this whole thing. Like I guess I'm a people person, but I'm a dog person, man. Like I never not had a dog ever in my life. And I think the first adoption event or fundraiser we did was, I mean, it's a terrible story, but there were these two dogs from a stray rescue in the Humane Society. I think one got thrown out of the car, like ditched, and then left to die in like a potato sack. And it was all over the news. His name was Harris. And then there was another dog who was used as a bait dog. They're both pit bulls, which I love. I adore pit bulls, and they was abused, and it was all over the news. I'm like, okay, what can we do to make sure these dogs, you know, surgeries and make sure they're taken care of, you know, because they take donations. So we threw this humongous event just for these two dogs to make sure that, you know, their medical bills were taken care of. And we were able to drop off like a $4,000 or $5,000 check to the rescue, and like, here, whatever we can do to help. And then after that, it was like, okay, we need to make this an annual thing. So we do adoption events, you know, with all different, I think there's six or seven different rescues that we've worked with throughout the years, you know, and whatever we can do to make sure that there's more dogs in homes than there are in shelters. I mean, if I can get one dog adopted, I feel like we did our part, you know? So, I mean, just the other day, there was a lost dog that was found on the highway, and the people knew to bring them straight to our bar because our strong social media following. And within 20 minutes of posting, oh, hey buddy, within 20 minutes of posting on our Facebook page, the dog's owners were found. They had been looking for him for almost 24 hours. So it was like, as soon as they brought the dog to our place, I put a post up in the picture and the owners were there within 20 minutes. So
that's so awesome. What's up, man? That's so cool that you get to do that and that you get to like actually help out these rescues and save animals, and you know, as a byproduct of some of the success that your business is having. And I mean, is this what you do full time, or what's that?
Yeah, my wife has a full time career. She does the books and she helps out as much as she can. She books that we have an event space upstairs that she handles and books for parties and baby showers and actually we just had a dog birthday party upstairs. Those are wild, by the way. I love dogs, but there's some people that love their dogs way more than I do. Like you go upstairs and you see dogs with their birthday hats on and they all got plates and cakes and stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah, my wife does as much as she can, but yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I bartend and then our other owner, Steven, he's kind of like the day-to-day guy. So, I'm cool. Like the face you see when you walk in, and when you come there for the first time, I'm the person you talk to and make sure everything gets taken care of that you need to do.
That's awesome. And what do you like? Do you see do you see yourself like expanding locations ever? Like, what's that? Oh, like absolutely. For you guys?
I would love to. We actually were trying to. There's a place called Dogtown that I grew up right next to that we were really trying to do, and it just financially wasn't making sense. We were told one thing and then it ended up being like 100,000-200,000 more than what it was supposed to cost. Yeah, we had a spot picked out and everything, and it just financially just wasn't going to work. But yeah, I mean, if we can do two or three of these things in the next 10 years and franchise it, that would be my dream, you know, and just bounce around and make sure they're all running right. But you know, it's gotta be a great location. You know, there's so many things that have to go into play. Like these kind of places won't work in the middle of a downtown area. I think they have to be in residential, you know, like where people know each other. And we actually had a couple that met in our dog park because their dogs ended up becoming friends and they ended up getting engaged at our place. And oh, so they're like having their wedding party or whatever at our bar. It was pretty cool. So, I mean, just stuff like that. I enjoy, you know, it's not just a job to me. It's kind of like a passion project. So,
yeah, I think that's amazing. And how many people do you have? Like, do you have a lot of locals or is it like, cause I know St. Louis, I mean, there's people coming in for like sports games and stuff like
that. The age old question is St. Louis is where'd you go to high school? Cause if you can figure out where someone went to high school, then you know someone that they know who they know, you know, it's weird. Cause I lived in Florida for a while and never heard anybody ask somebody where they went to high school. Cause it didn't matter, but here it does. Cause it's so small. I mean, it's not like a small town, but you can kind of pinpoint who knows who from what high school they went to. But yeah, man, I mean, we, like I was telling you earlier, we have like 2,000 members now, I think. Yeah. So, but I mean, I have friends now that I've met there, you know, my buddy Tyler, he ended up being a high school football coach at the high school I went to. I would have never known that if, you know, he didn't come to the bar. So now we're really good friends.
And what would you say is like, I mean, and this just, you know, broaden it up to like, you know, starting like any type of business, what would be some advice to someone? And, you know, maybe this will expand it to this niche, right? Like just animal rescue in general, right? Like an animal rescue business. What advice would you give them? Maybe patience. Or to yourself?
Patience, you know, cause I mean, we were so rushed to open. It's like there were a lot of things we did. Cause I mean, I think we got the place in October and we were like, okay, we need to open by December. And like, but there's so much that goes into it. But once you figure it out, the ins and out, I mean, it runs like clockwork, you know, but the main thing is make sure all the dogs are safe. That is our main goal. Make sure, you know, you got to know the dog's behaviors, you know, and in dog parks, you don't want them on leashes because when they're on leashes, other dogs see that as a weakness and they'll go after. There's just things you have to do research. You have to, I mean, we worked with Purina. They gave us a lot of information about what to do and what not to do. Cause Purina is based out, Purina dog food is made here. They're 2-3 blocks away from us. So we did a lot of work with them, but I mean, safety's key obviously, but other than that, I mean, have fun with it. You know, I mean, I've had a blast. This has been my favorite job I've ever had, you know, but it's something. But yeah, man, just be patient and just don't rush into anything and make sure, like you said, make sure that all the dogs are safe. We've had maybe one incident where there was a dog got nipped, but we've had zero injuries in the bar, but I mean, it's a dog park. Dogs are going to get into it. But if you do it the right way, that doesn't need to happen.
That's awesome. I mean, that's so cool, man. To hear that you guys are doing that. And where can Where can people find you if they're in the St. Louis area? Where can we follow along at?
Oh man, we have a website that my wife created. It's thedoghousesoulard.com, where you can actually order merch and hats. We'll actually send you a hat, buddy. That's pretty good.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, man.
We'll send you a hat to share. Head.
Yeah,
I see we got the same barber, man.
yeah, exactly.
yeah. And then we're the Doghouse Soulard on Facebook and Instagram as well. So
cool.
S-O-U-L-A-B
down below. And what's your guys' like most popular beer there?
Man, it's Soulard's weird. So the Soulard people like the crafty stuff, like the IPAs. I'm a Busch Light guy, man. I drink Busch Light and Budweiser, but I mean, we try to change our taps monthly to keep it fresh. You know, we do a seasonal drinks but we have a Sherbert Sour right now that is just, we can't keep enough of that. I mean, that seems to be the one. But I said, like Soulard, they like all the weird crafty beers, man, that aren't for me, but I take people's word for it.
Interesting. Regardless, wherever you're listening, go check them out. I know next time I pass through St. Louis, I'm definitely stopping by for sure. And definitely, it sounds awesome with what you guys are doing.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really appreciate it. We'll get you that hat though for sure.
Definitely. I can't wait. I'll be sporting it everywhere.
There you go. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on, man.